Well, thank you, Brother John. What a joy to be here. Good to see you this morning. Amen. Trust everybody's doing well. Yes. Another beautiful day, I think, upper 60s today, and what a day of rejoicing. That's what the Bible tells us to do, isn't that right? Amen. We're to rejoice and be glad. This is a day that God's given us, and so good to see you this morning, friends. I'm going to continue. We took a little break there from we're preaching verse by verse through the book of Timothy. We took a break last week, and this week we're going to do the same. I want to turn this morning to James chapter 1. James chapter 1, we're going to begin at verse number 1 this morning. James 1 and verse number 1. And I titled the message this morning, From Trouble to Triumph. Trouble to Triumph. And friends, God gives us the victory. Amen? Amen? He does indeed. James chapter 1, verse number 1 this morning. The Bible says, James, a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad, greeting. And friends, just underline that phrase, scattered abroad, in your thinking this morning, because James is writing to believers who are being persecuted for the gospel's sake. And he's encouraging them because they're going to be going through these difficult places in their lives. And so he's encouraging them. In verse number 2, he says, My brethren, Count it all joy when you fall into divers temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. And that little phrase, worketh patience, in the Greek means enduring consistency. And so in these difficult places, what God does by His Spirit is He gives us an enduring consistency. And that's what he's talking about. So with those words in mind, let's bow in a word of prayer this morning. Father God, once again, we would thank you for this day you have given us. And Lord, we thank you for each one here this morning. And God, we know today that it's because of your mercy and your grace that we have breath in our lungs. Father, you are the giver of life. You are the sustainer of life. And Father, we thank you that you indeed have our best in mind this morning. And God, I pray for each one. There was many requests made today, and Father, we think of each one this morning. I think of those that are traveling, and we think of the Wright family. I think of Camry and Tom and others that are on the road, and Father, we just pray that you would give them journey mercies and safety as they would travel. I think of Hunter this morning, and Father, what a joy it is to know that he was able to come and spend time with Don and Jana. And so, Father, we pray your blessing on this young man. We thank you for his commitment to the U.S. military. And, Lord, we thank you for his heart and his desire to serve this country through that agency. And so, Father, we pray your richest blessing on him. We pray, God, for your safety, your hedge about his life, and, God, that you would use him mightily in the days to come. Father, we also thank others this morning that are going through adversity. I think of Brother Joe, and Lord, we love this brother. We thank you for him, and we pray, God, that you would bring healing to his body. And Father, there's so many this morning that are suffering with colds and influenza and other ailments. And so, Father, we just lift them up, and not knowing all of them, God, we just lift them up and pray, Father, that you, in your great mercy and grace, would just work mightily on behalf of each one. I thank Father this morning of Larry Williams and think of his family. And Lord, the loss of life is never easy. And so Father, we pray for the Williams family today and pray God that you would grace them about and encourage them, Father, even this hour. And so Father, we commit them to you today. And I thank Lord of Stephen and Brenna and think of Levi this morning. And once again, Father, we just pray for healing. I think in particular of Levi and Father, radiation and chemo and the effects that it has on the human body. And so, Father, we just pray that you would work through all of that in a powerful way. And God, this morning, it's our heart's desire that Levi would not only experience your physical healing in his body, but God, more than that, that he would come to that place of realizing the vitality that comes when we walk in step with the Lord Jesus Christ and we experience his spiritual sanctification. And Father, I don't know Levi's heart, but if he's not saved, Father, we pray that you would draw him to yourself. And if he is saved, God, we pray for him and Sammy and the kids that they would grow in grace and knowledge of you, and Father, that they would find the fullness of life and what life really means, and that's a relationship with you. And so we lift them up as well this morning, and we pray your blessing on them. I thank you for Alma, and thank you for her testimony and her steadfastness. And Father, we do pray for those who come under the sound of the gospel. We pray, God, that you would work in their hearts, and Father, that you would draw them. We know that you love them, that you sent your Son to die for them, and Father, we just pray your blessing and your great work of grace in their lives as well. Father, I think of Brother Lee's family as they're traveling, and I just think of the fact that Lord, they're going a long distance all the way to Belgium, and Father, we just pray your safety and your hedge about them. We pray, God, that you would give the medical professionals there the wisdom and the insight that's needed, Lord, in this particular situation. And Father, this morning I thank you for the request that Aaron mentioned concerning believers in Syria. And Father, we're so thankful for your gospel and how powerful it is. And you've said that it would be preached unto all nations. And Father, thank you that Syria is precious in your sight as well, and that you desire those people to be saved as much as anyone else. And so, Father, thank you for those who have believed. And God, we pray your hedge of protection about them, and pray for growth and strength and vitality, and God, that your word would have its rightful place in each of their lives. Father, this morning, as we embark upon this hour, once again, God, I would ask that I would be out of the way. Father, that you would use this vessel this morning to speak your word. God, that you would give me preaching liberty, give me clarity of thought, and Father, that you would work through me for your purpose today. Pray, God, that each one of us would have on our listening ears, that we would hear what the Spirit says, and Father, that you would make the necessary changes in our lives. And God, at the end of today and the end of this message, it's our heart that you would receive glory and honor. We pray all this in Christ's precious name. Amen. Well, friends, I recently read that if you take a real diamond, a genuine diamond, and you take that diamond and you heat it up and you get it nice and hot and you drop it into a glass of water, that diamond will maintain its brilliance and its beauty. But if you take a phony diamond, one that's not real, and you heat it up and you drop it into that same glass of water, it will shatter and come apart. And friends, I want to say this morning that as Christians, as believers, the trials and troubles of our lives really tell us who we are. They tell us who we are. And friends, many of us go through hot water. We go through these difficult places. We go through these trials, and they become a defining tool as to who we are in Christ. And it's an absolute reality. And so hardships really are a means by which God allows our faith to be tested. And so we go through these hard places. We go through these difficult places. And what happens in these difficult places is God really becomes a revealer of our hearts. He shows us who we are. And so we see that. And friends, that principle is driven throughout all the Bible. And I think one of the things that's paramount for every Christian to know and understand is that from the book of Genesis all the way to the book of Revelation, God never changes his thought. God is 100% systematic in thought. Why is that? Because he's an omniscient God. He knows the beginning and the end. He wrote it. He wrote history, past, present, and future. He knows all things. We need to understand that. He's omniscient. He's all-knowing. In the parable of the sower, and I want to take our Bibles now and turn with me, if you would, to the book of Luke chapter 8 and verse number 13. But in the parable of the sower, Jesus explained something concerning the ground and the different types and different aspects of the ground and how seed responds differently in different soils. And we find here in this particular text that there is good soil, but then there's also soil that is not good. And so once again, the soil and the seed, they tell us something about what's going on. And we find that. And so, Friends, I want you to think about trials and tribulations and temptations as we read through this passage and make correlations and let God just speak to your heart. Let Him give you clarity of thought this morning and let Him direct you by His Word. And so notice with me here in verse 8, and we find that there's a seed that lands on soil, but this seed never has firm root. Listen to what it says. Verse number 13. They on the rock are they which when they hear, receive the word with joy. Notice that. They hear and they receive the word of God with joy, it says. And these have no root, which for a while believe, but in time of temptation fall away. Verse 14. And that which fell among the thorns are they which when they have heard, go forth. Now listen carefully, and are choked with cares and riches and pleasures of this life, and bring no fruit to perfection. And friends, the world this morning will rob us, and I appreciated so much the Sunday school hour, and if you weren't here for the Sunday school hour, once again, we put the plug in, get online, listen to it. But I appreciated so much what Brother John had to say this morning in the Sunday school hour, because he was saying exactly this truth, that if we don't have the Word of God welled up in our lives and alive in our lives, when troubles come, we go the other way. And friends, that's what the Bible's telling us here. Once again, it says, and that which fell among the thorns are they, which when they have heard, go forth. And then it says, and are choked with the cares and the riches and pleasures of this life, and have no fruit to perfection. In other words, the things of the world stops their spiritual growth. It just basically brings it to a halt. It's like they hit a roadblock and they just don't go any further. And then he says in verse number 15, but that on the good ground are they which in an honest and good heart, having heard the word, keep it, and bring forth fruit with patience. And that word patience there is the word hupomone, and it means enduring consistency. You see, when God's alive in a heart, God is the one who preserves us. He's the one who keeps us going if He is in us. And if He is not in us, what happens is we go our own way. Now, in saying that, I want to give some clarity, because that can happen with a true believer. They can go their own way, but if they're a true believer, what happens is God goes after them. He goes after them. And what He does is He spins them around. They get back on the path. But I'm talking about those who go away and never come back. And He's telling us at this point that this ground was not fertile. There was no root there. It never come alive. And so there's no consistency. There's no enduring consistency. Dear friends, everyone who lives in this world endures some measure of trouble. There's not one of us in this room this morning that are exempt from troubles. We all go through troubles, every one of us. And there's nobody that's outside that scope. Everybody on planet Earth definitely endures and goes through some level of trouble. Or if you will, hot water. We get in these difficult places. And you see, beloved, the reason that exists is because of Adam's sin. You know, there's a lot of people that have a great difficulty in understanding good and evil. And friends, it's so simple. Man will pursue all kinds of ideas and philosophies, and he'll look for all kinds of solutions. But all we need to do is look at what the Word of God says. And when God's representative, Adam, chose to disobey God, and by the way, it was a choice. He had a free will. Just like this morning, every one of us in this room, we make choices. We have free wills. We go out and we get in our cars after the service and we drive up to this stop sign at the end of Arundel. We can either drive right on through it or we can choose to stop. Hopefully we'll choose to stop. Be the right thing to do. There's a lot of traffic on 6th Street. But we all have choices. We all make choices. And Adam, who was God's representative, he made a choice. And that choice was to listen to the voice of Satan rather than the voice of God. And friends, the moment he listened to the voice of Satan, sin came into the world. And because of sin, it's passed upon all humanity. And it's interesting because the seed of man is that which passes on. It's through man that the seed of sin is passed to the next person. Not through the woman, but through the man. And that becomes very fundamentally important because when it comes to the Lord Jesus Christ, he was not of the seed of men. He was of the seed of God. He was perfect. And so we live in a fallen world. We live in a world that is tainted with what the Bible calls sin. And so good and evil are easy and obvious to see. There's good, there's evil. Why is that? Because of sin. Sin brings about evil, and God obviously brings about good. God is the means by which all good things come into being. And so we see good and evil in our world, and it's not a difficult thing. Man likes to run from those things. He likes to give excuse or give challenge to it because he doesn't want to believe the truth. But friends, we live in a world that is both good and evil. And we all know that. It's everywhere we look. And so because of Adam's sin, this whole world has been corrupted with iniquity. And because of sin and iniquity, there's troubles in life. There's troubles in life. Job said it like this in Job chapter 5, verse 7. He says, "Yet man is born unto trouble." You like those words? Man is born unto trouble as sparks fly upward. Job 14:1, we read this. "Man that is born of a woman is of a few days," listen, "and full of trouble." Full of trouble. David cried unto God, "Be not far from me. Be not far from me, for trouble is near." Isaiah cried out and said, "And they shall look upon the earth and behold trouble and darkness, dimness of anguish, and they shall be driven to darkness." Isaiah chapter 8, verse 22. Solomon wrote, "Therefore I hated life." You ever been at that place where you said, "Man, I hate life"? Solomon said that. He said, "I've hated life because the work that is wrought under the sun is grievous unto me. For all is vanity and vexation of spirit, for all his days are sorrows, and his travail grief, yea, his heart taketh not rest in the night. This is all vanity." Ecclesiastes 2 and verse 17. And so what am I really saying this morning, beloved? I'm saying that troubles are universal. I'm saying that troubles are universal, and it doesn't matter whether you are a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ or you've never been saved. Troubles exist on planet Earth. We go through troubles. There's troubles all around us on a daily basis. God's redeemed people are not exempt from troubles. There's preachers out there today that are preaching to people that you come to Christ and you'll never have another problem. Friends, that's a lie. It's a lie. Anybody that preached that, something's wrong. They're being inspired and led by some other than God. Yes. It's the God of this world who deceives, who lies. You see, beloved, even in the best, even with the best things in this life comes trouble. I want us to think about that. Marriage and family is an awesome gift from God. It's an awesome gift from God. And yet family can bring us trouble. Do you believe that? The Apostle Paul said this. Write this verse down. We won't turn there for sake of time, but write this verse down. The Apostle Paul said in 1 Corinthians 7, verse 28, he says, "And if thou marry, thou hast not sinned." So marriage is a good thing. And then he says, "And if a virgin marry, she hath not sinned. Nevertheless, Set shall have trouble in the flesh." And friends, I'll tell you, we know that in a relationship, sparks can fly. There can be difficulties. We can go through hard places. That's a reality. And we're foolish to think that it's not true, because if we live and we're in our right minds, we know there's trouble. There's trouble. There's difficulty in relationships. I don't care about what relationship it is. There's difficulties that come in relationships. I want you to listen to what Jesus said in John 16:33. He said, "These things I have spoken unto you," referring to his disciples, that in me ye might have peace. Now, beloved, there is a clear delineation that we're going to talk about in just a moment. But in Christ, even in the midst of troubles, there is peace. And it's been said like this. Some people, you know, in the world, people think that there's peace when there's the absence of conflicts. But friends, I want to tell you, the child of God has peace in the midst of conflicts. There is a big difference. And so as a child of God, we can have peace even when troubles are all about us if we understand God's design and God's purpose behind what's taking place. But in John 16:33, Jesus said this, "These things I have spoken unto you," and he's referring to his disciples, and he says that in me you might have peace. In the world you shall have tribulation, but be of good courage. Why? Because I've overcome the world. You see, so Christ becomes the answer to the conflicts of life. God has given us all things that pertain unto life and godliness, everything that we need to live a prosperous and a beneficial life in this world comes through the truth of the gospel. And so, friends, Jesus assured his disciples that in the world you will have tribulation. In 2 Corinthians 4 and verse 8, Paul, who is an apostle, Mark 3:14 tells us that he received apostolic authority. Jesus had given the 12 this authority, this power. They could cast out demons. They could raise the dead. All these things. And yet Paul himself as an apostle understood that in this life, there are troubles. There are troubles. And he says this in 2 Corinthians 4 and verse 8. We are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. In other words, things are coming upon us. But see, there was something within that was bigger. And then he goes on to say, persecuted, but not forsaken, cast down, but not destroyed, always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus Christ, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our body. Now listen to this carefully. For we which live are delivered unto death for Jesus' sake, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our mortal flesh. Beloved, the Apostle Paul experienced the difficulties of life as a human being. But you know, those difficulties actually multiply when we become Christians. And let me tell you why. We have three great enemies that were spoken about in the Sunday school hour: the world, the flesh, and the devil. And friends, all three of those enemies oppose Christ and everything to do with the Word of God. And so when we come to Christ, instantly we have a bullseye on our back. And the adversary comes after us, the world comes after us, and our flesh is, as Romans chapter 8 says, it's at enmity against God, and so we're in a real battle. And friends, we can't do that battle in the strength of ourselves. We need something greater than ourselves. And that's where Christ comes into play. God, through His Word, has given us all things that pertain unto life and godliness. And so through Christ, if I am enriched with the Word of God and I'm filled up with the Word of God, when these troubles in life come against me, God gives me the antidote by which I can deal with those troubles. He directs me. He leads me. He instructs me. And so, beloved, the reality is we're not exempt from troubles. But friends, we've been given a great solution for those troubles. You know, when we stop and think about troubles, we experience troubles in our jobs. We experience troubles at school. Our society produces troubles. We have troubles in our families, and we have social troubles and spiritual troubles, and we have circumstances and frustrations and disappointments and physical pain, and ultimately we will experience death. But does God give us that which we need in all of those circumstances and situations? The answer is yes. He does. He does. And so, friends, this morning, I want us to understand that many times Christians experience troubles in so many different venues, and then there's added troubles because of our faith in Jesus Christ. And Jesus said this. He said, if they persecuted me, they will also do what? Persecute you. And I appreciated what Aaron said. If you guys heard that this morning, Christians in Syria, because, you know, it's a Muslim nation, these believers are being persecuted. And is God's grace sufficient for those brothers and sisters in Syria? It is. But, you know, as he shared, the admonition that's given to you and I as Christians in America, we need to be praying for them. And we need to be praying God's strength and God's power in their lives. And friends, I just want to say something. This is a little bit of a derail. But, you know, something that's sad is we get so focused on the physical that sometimes we lose sight of the spiritual. And beloved, the reality this morning is that Paul said, whether we live, we're Christ, whether we die, we're Christ. We need to understand that. It's not all about this physical realm. Really, we ought to be heavenly-minded people. We ought to be looking to Jesus in every situation, every venue of life, and trusting Him on this planet. Amen. Because we're all vulnerable. I mean, every one of us. There's not one of us in this room that's not vulnerable. I mean, things could happen at any time, any moment. Yeah. And it's only by the grace of God we are what we are. We need to always remember that. So, beloved, it's not unusual. Once again, John chapter 15 and verse 20, if they persecuted me, they will persecute you as well. And Paul reminded Timothy, he said this, he said, all that live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 12. 2 Timothy 3 and verse 12. Friends, James said, my brethren, count it all joy. Count it all joy when you fall into divers temptations. Peter said it like this, wherein ye greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, ye are in heaviness through manifold temptations. And we're just not exempt of any of that. And sometimes people want to come across and they want to make this, they want to give this presentation of Bible truth in such a way that they try to suck people in using deceptive words. Friends, there's no deceptive words. There's troubles. We all go through troubles. Once again, I just want to reinforce that in the midst of the troubles, God has the antidote. God fixes the problems, but we must look to Him. So, beloved, when a person's faith is genuine, it becomes active during the times of trouble. If one's faith is not genuine, if it's not genuine faith, it will prove itself in the pressures of life. You see, the pressures of life reveal what's inside of us. And as God allows pressures to come in, we're going to respond one of two ways. We're either going to look to Him or we're going to look to the world. And friends, just that look tells us who we are. And genuine faith looks to the one who has the cure for every problem. There's not a problem on this planet that He can't take care of. And friends, that is so true. Man would have you believe otherwise because man is energized by the prince of the power of the air. The Bible says who now energizes the children of disobedience. Now, there's a lot of people who hear that and say, well, I just don't want to believe that. Well, friends, I can't control what you believe, but I can tell you what the Bible says. And the Bible tells me emphatically and clearly that this prince of the power of the air energizes the children of disobedience. Friends, you know, it's interesting that we have all these thoughts and these ideas that come into our minds. And sometimes we ought to just stop and ask ourselves when something comes in, what's the origin of that thought? You know, friends, God will never come to you and say, don't believe my word. God will never do that. But let me tell you somebody who will. Yes. His name's Satan. Yeah, that's right. He's alive and well on planet. He doesn't want you to believe the Word of God. He wants you to believe something else. And he'll do everything he can to discourage the truth of God's Word and seek to get you to embrace that which is not true. Why is that? Because he wants to destroy your soul. The Bible says in John chapter 10 that he come to lie, to steal, and to kill. There's many pulpits today that won't even talk about Satan. Why won't they? Because they're fearful that they might upset somebody or put some kind of a spin on truth that causes somebody to get stumbled up. Friends, the truth never stumbles anybody up. It sets them free. And so Jesus said, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Friends, we have to have the truth. And so, friends, we must believe the Bible. The Bible is the source of biblical faith. Faith cometh by hearing, and we just talked about this last Friday night. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. It's the Word of God that builds within us faith. And friends, if we lack this ability to believe God, we need to get in His Word and let that faith be energized. Amen. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Friends, when difficulties come, we don't forsake the Bible. We embrace the Bible. Amen. We believe what it says. And those who run away from it, they end up becoming self-deceived, and they're led away from the truth. And so their lives go out of bounds. They become unstable. They look for other things to fulfill and to direct them outside the Word of truth. Beloved, I've said this, and I'll say it again. I believe the most stable people you will ever meet are people who truly believe and live the Word of God. Amen. And it's not because of them. It's because of this truth that never changes. The Bible tells us in Hebrews that Jesus Christ is the same today, yesterday, and forever. God doesn't change. And friends, when we take the principles and the statutes of the Word of God and we believe those age-old principles of truth, it creates stable people. God gives us stability. Why does He do that? Because He's truth. Truth will set a man's soul free. Beloved, the Apostle James says, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. It works enduring consistency. So in the midst of troubles, I'm not looking for my answers from the world. I'm looking to the Word of God. And so it makes sense this morning to all of us that the reason we go through these difficult, hard places is because God wants to get our attention. He wants us to look to Him. And friends, when we look to Him, now all of a sudden these principles, these truths begin to become a part of our lives. They create stability. Beloved, that's totally reasonable. Wouldn't you agree? Yes. Friends, trouble in life cannot burn up anyone's faith if they're truly born again. There's no trouble in this life that can cause you to stop believing. You know, the Apostle Paul said in 2 Timothy 1:12, he says, For the which cause I suffer these things. Nevertheless, I'm not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed, and I am persuaded that He is able to keep that which I've committed unto Him. So that's what faith does. It comes from the Word of God. We believe what God says. And so we're not rattled. We don't shudder. We don't become timid and withdrawn. We step out. Why? Because we believe what God says. And so troubles in life will never shatter those who truly believe the Word of God and have trusted in Christ. Now, beloved, listen carefully. I want us to think about this morning. This is so important. Afflictions or trials in our lives lead the believer to this place where we become engaged with God. And we begin to wrestle with God, and we begin to discern, and we begin to ask God, God, show me. I need to understand why I'm going through these difficulties. God, what are you wanting me to learn? God, how can I become a better person through this hard place in my life? And so all of a sudden now we're engaged in this zealous prayer. God, I need your help. I need your strength. I need your power. And God takes us to this greater place where we begin to trust Him. You know where most people lose the battle? Is they go to God in prayer, they set a time fence, and they give God 3 or 4 days, and if God doesn't respond, then they're off somewhere else. Yeah. Friends, patient endurance says, God, I'm going to trust you no matter what. Beloved, that's where God wants every one of us to live. Right. He wants us to trust Him. He wants us to endure with Him. And as we do that, we become patient people, believing that God will give us the outcome. And beloved, I would, you know, I think if I would say, okay, let's have some testimonies this morning, many of us would stand up. Amen. And share how God, through these pressures of life, has made us the people we are today. Amen. Brent, you don't wake up one day and become a mountain for God. God takes this, he has to chip away. He has to, you know, he has to fabricate, he has to mold. He's the master craftsman. And what he does is he takes us through all these areas and difficulties and conflicts in life to turn out these vessels that bring honor and glory to him. And friends, that's what God's doing right now in my life and your life. God is working and chipping away at us, and he's forming us into the image of his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And you know what Jesus said in Hebrews chapter 5, verse 8? He said, I learned obedience through the things I suffered. Isn't that amazing? But that's true. We learn obedience through those things we suffer. Friends, it's God's strength and God's power that makes us who we are and what we are. You see, trials put the believer in the place where we just have to go to him. And you know, one of the things that becomes an identifier is that when you go through trials, just ask yourself this question and be honest. Where do I go? Who do I go to? Tells us a lot about ourselves, doesn't it? And so, friends, we should find ourselves crying out to God for his grace, his sustaining hand, his strength in our difficulties. David said in Psalm 143, verse 8, and it was interesting because as I was thinking on these thoughts, I get a text from Brother John, and he's wrote down Psalm 143, verse 8. And I want to read it to you because it's a powerful text. Actually, let's just go ahead and turn there. I think we're good on time. If we're not, we'll run over 15 or 20 minutes. But that's one thing about me, friends. I like to get us out of here on time. I think that's important. You need to do all things orderly. But it says here in Psalm 143, verse 8, it says, David speaking, he says, cause me to hear thy loving kindness. Friends, do you want to hear God's loving kindness? I do. Cause me to hear thy loving kindness in the morning, for in thee do I trust. Notice that. For in thee do I trust. Cause me to know the way wherein I should walk, for I lift up my soul unto thee. And I just want us to kind of get a mental picture of what's going on with David, but he's trusting in God, and he's just lifting his soul up and saying, God, I need your power. I need your help. Give me your strength, God. Give me your direction. Give me your wisdom. Give me your understanding that I can be the man you want me to be. And then he says in verse 9, deliver me, O Lord, from mine enemies. I flee unto thee to hide me. And he's looking to God for this refuge. He's looking to God as the one who will sustain and enable and empower in the midst of his difficult situation. He's looking to God, no one else. And then he says, teach me to do thy will. You know, I had a brother years ago as a young believer say to me, brother, I've been praying that God would cause me to do his will when it's not even my will to do his will. Amen. Friends, we ought to all pray that prayer. God, cause me to do thy will when it's not my will to do thy will. David said, teach me to do thy will, for thou art my God. Thy spirit is good. Lead me into the land of uprightness. And beloved, that's where we want to live. We want to live in that dwelling place that's right. You know, when I look around at this world, and tell me if you agree with me this morning, when I look around at this world that we live in, this ball, this sphere that's suspended upon nothing, this circle that's in outer space, you know, I look around and I see people that are in disarray. I see nations that are violently opposing each other, and I see all these activities that are going on planet Earth and the hate. I mean, just in our own country alone that was built upon Judeo-Christian values, the hate that now exists, you know, between the liberal mind and the conservative mind. I mean, people hate each other. And it's everywhere you look. And we're just living in these times of trouble. And man, looking to himself, has no answers. And he's going about it his way. And friends, planet Earth is coming apart. And I said this Wednesday night, but in all honesty, beloved, whether you agree or not, it's an absolute truth. We're seeing the second law of thermodynamics taking place both spiritually and physically. It's coming apart. The earth is dying because of sin. And man has these capabilities today with nuclear power to decimate continents with the push of a button. That's where we live. We live in a crazy time. Friends, it's through Christ that we're strengthened. It's through Christ that we are exhilarated, that we are encouraged, and that we are given joy in the midst of difficulty. You see, when I look at the world today and I see everything coming apart, I'm at peace. You know why I'm at peace? Because I trust the God who's the creator of all things. And God prophetically has told me that in the latter days, these events would begin to take place. I'm already made aware of it. But God says, you know what he tells me? I will keep thee. I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. Yes. And beloved, I have the promises of God. Amen. John chapter 10, verse 28. I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. My sheep hear my voice. I know them, and I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Neither shall any man ever pluck them out of my hand. Amen. Friends, I'm in a very secure place. I have a Savior who controls everything, and before the earth is completely decimated, he's going to come back a second time. That's right. And he's going to set up a millennial kingdom. Right. Friends, there's good things coming, but those good things belong to those who have faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. They believe him. They trust him. And so God, through his word, gives us the purpose for trials. And once again, friends, one of which, if you're taking notes, we need to take spiritual inventory. It's been said that trials will either make you bitter or they will make you better. Amen. And friends, they make us bitter when we do not appropriate Bible truth. We look to the world for answers. And we're saying, you know, so many people will go through a difficult place and they'll say, look at what God has done to me. He's made my life miserable. They don't get it. Friends, that trial was designed to make your life better. The problem is you're looking in the wrong place. If you're looking towards your own satisfaction, your own benefits, that which makes you happy, you're missing it. If you see God's glory in place and you see that God wants to change your life and God wants to make you a solid, wholesome person, you're saying, God, thank you for that difficult place because you're making me better, not bitter. Friends, trials expose our heart. People who claim faith in Christ and look to the world for the answers reveal their identity. You see, those who turn to Christ in times of trouble demonstrate that they believe the God of the Bible. They have living, strong faith. Friends, I want to say something this morning. God in no way ever gives to us a false hope. What God gives to us is absolute truth. The issue at hand is whether or not we will believe him. And God says that without faith, it is impossible to please him. Because those who come to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. So let me put this into perspective. If I'm unwilling to trust God and believe God, I shouldn't ever expect anything from God. But friends, when I will trust him and believe him, the outcome will always be good. Why? Because I believe him. The problem is we have this pseudo profession, say, well, yeah, I believe in God. You know what James says? The demons believe in God and they shudder with fear. Friends, there's a big difference between acknowledging God in heaven and giving God our lives and trusting him with everything that we are. And God calls you and I to step outside of ourselves and to trust him with everything that we are. It's what we do. We believe him. And friends, I'll tell you what, God doesn't give us a false hope. He simply reveals our hearts to us. And God, even this morning, will reveal our hearts to us if we're listening to his voice. Not Rick, but what the Bible has to say. I want to cover a few verses in closing here. Exodus, let's turn there. Exodus chapter 16, verse 4. Exodus 16 and verse number 4. And God said this, Moses wrote the book of Exodus, and just something to be reminded of, Moses wrote the first five books of the Old Testament, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy. That's called the Pentateuch. Moses wrote those books. And he says in Exodus 16, 4, he says, behold, this is God speaking, behold, I will rain from heaven for you, And the people shall go out and gather a day's portion every day. Now watch this. That I may test them. That I may test them. Listen. Whether or not they will walk in my instruction. You know, beloved, life in general is all about obeying God's instruction. And I want us to think about this morning. Beloved, when Jesus said in John chapter 3, verse 7, Jesus told a man by the name of Nicodemus, you must be born again. But he didn't just say it to Nicodemus. He says to the whole world that we must be born again. Yes. Beloved, if we don't listen to God's instructions there, we won't listen to God's instructions anywhere. Yeah, that's right. It all starts there. Yeah. And then it goes in every aspect of life. It goes everywhere. We listen to what he says. God wants us to hear his instructions. He wants us to hear his instructions. And he wants us to obey his instructions. And that's very, very important. And so Jesus has given humanity instructions. And friends, God reveals our hearts. How does he do it? Well, he reveals our hearts on whether or not we are listening and obeying his instructions. And instantly we can see ourselves. I don't have to come up to anybody this morning and say, hey, you're obeying or you're disobeying God's instructions. You already know. I know. Nobody has to tell me. I don't need anybody running around with a big stick trying to tell me how to live and what to do. God does that. God does that. It doesn't matter if I'm in front of you guys here on a remote island. God's speaking to Rick Grossenbacher all the time. I can't run from it. Wherever I go, he's there. He speaks to me. He speaks to you wherever we go. And friends, this morning I want us to get this. You know, God gives things, he does things, so that we can see our own hearts. And that's exactly what happened. God gave them manna from heaven, and there would be those who would be thankful for it, and then there would be those who would complain against it. That's right. Turn with me to the book of Deuteronomy chapter 13. And notice verse 3, Deuteronomy 13 and verse number 3. Deuteronomy 13 and 3, it says, and I'm going too fast, but I'll slow down. Deuteronomy 13 and verse number 3. Deuteronomy 13 and verse 3. It says, thou shalt not hearken unto the words of the prophet or the dreamer of dreams. And beloved, there's all kinds of falseness out there. There's all these innuendos and these ideas. And the child of God doesn't listen to those things. So thou shalt not hearken unto the words of the prophet or the dreamer of dreams, for the Lord your God proveth you. You know what the Christian listens to? What God has to say. I'm interested in what God has to say. I really don't even like to listen to Bible teachers who don't give me scripture references. And the reason for that is I want to see what God has to say. I mean, I'm not saying that they're not speaking truth, but I just like to see what the verse says. I like to see what the scripture says. So thou shalt not hearken unto the words of that prophet or that dreamer of dreams, for the Lord your God proveth you. Listen to this. To know whether you love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul. Verse 4. You shall walk after the Lord your God and fear him and keep his commandments and obey his voice, and he shall serve, and ye shall serve him and cleave to him. You know, did God know the heart, or does God know the heart of man? He does. He knows the heart of every one of us. And the reason he knows that is because we use a word called omniscience. Omniscience means all-knowingness. God knows every detail of my life and your life. We don't hide anything from him. And the wisest thing we can do, dear people, is be transparent with him. If we're lacking in an area, we don't hide that area from our God and say, you know, and think that somehow he doesn't see that or know about it. He knows about it. So if I have an inconsistency in my life, I don't hide that from God. I confess it. God, I need some changes. I need some help. And friends, that's where God wants us to live. And with Hezekiah, God knew Hezekiah's heart because he's omniscient. And he wanted him to see his own heart. And beloved, God wants to reveal to us our own hearts. Why does he want to do that? So that we will get serious with him. And when we do that, he mends it. He heals it. And friends, that's where God wants us to go. You know, without real faith, friends, without really believing the Word of God, we're looking to the world for the answers. And all we have to do is ask ourselves, when troubles come into my life, where do I look? It tells us everything about where our heart's at. And friends, if we're not looking in the right place, that can be fixed. And it can be fixed today. Friends, we need to look to Him in everything. And we don't want to embrace worldly ideas and worldly philosophies. And there's a lot of people out there today, and there's a lot of ministries out there today that are all about mixing secular psychology with biblical Christianity. Friends, it doesn't mix. God is truth. And the Apostle Paul said this. I didn't say this. He said, let every man be a liar and let God be true. And so I believe that the Bible has answers for any problem that we have in life if we're willing to look at it and believe it. And God will meet us there. We don't need secular psychology. We don't need self-help books. We don't need liberal preachers who preach watered-down messages. We just need Bible truth. That's all we need. And God will lead us. So many preachers today have taken the Bible, they've turned it into paper mache. They've mixed it up. They've miscommunicated it. They've treated it like it's a smorgasbord. Friends, God's very systematic in His thought. His truth is beyond question. When God gives Bible truth, you cannot punch a hole in it. You know, some people think, well, man, he is a good debater. He can out-debate so many people. No. God's Word is true, and it just shuts the mouths of people. That's what happens. That's what happens. It's not the ability to out-articulate somebody. Just give them the truth. The truth makes the difference. Friends, Christ is either sufficient for life and godliness, or He's not. And 2 Peter 1:3 says, according as His divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness. Life and godliness. And then He goes on to say, through the knowledge of Him, through the knowledge of Him. Who's the pronoun Him there? It's Christ that hath given us glory and virtue. Beloved, Satan's goal is to tempt us into believing that God is not real. And I'm going to ask you an honest question. Don't respond. But how many of us have had a thought go through our mind that says, God is not real? You ever had a thought like that? God is not real. Or can God really do that? I want to say something to you. Listen to me carefully. God would never say that to you. That's coming from another place. And friends, what God would say to you is what His Word says, I am true. Jesus said in John 14:6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Folks, if we embrace foolish thinking and we embrace ideas that are outside the Scripture, what we have done is we have dethroned God and we've dethroned His sovereignty. If we say, well, I shouldn't be going through these hard places, we're saying God doesn't know what He's doing. Friends, I'm here to remind us this morning, God does know what He's doing. And God loves you, and God has a special place and purpose for your life. And no matter what you go through, He will never leave you nor forsake you. Why did David say in the 23rd Psalm, he was at this place of where he was encompassed by death, and he clearly delineated, clearly communicated that the Lord is with me. And you know what his last words were? Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. In difficult places. In difficult places. Friends, our circumstances, our difficulties are not outside of God's control. And Paul testified in 2 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 7, lest I should be exalted above measure, there was given me a thorn in the flesh, Satan, to buffet me. And so he understood that life and the situations of life were not circumchance, but they were divine, and God had a plan and a purpose. And so what was that purpose? And I'm going to close with this, that we look to Christ in everything, trusting Him. Friends, I just encourage you today, in the days in which we're living, let's look to Him. Amen? Amen. Let's bow in a word of prayer. Father God, thank You for this day. And Thank you for each precious life, Lord. Thank you, God, that there are troubles that come our way. And Father, we thank you to know that you are divine and sovereign in all of them. And God, when it's clear outside of our understanding, we know that you remain faithful. And God, you are the God who is above every difficulty, every circumstance. Father, may we, as your people, look to you and trust you. And Lord, that we rightly discern why we have these things. You know, we look at the life of Job and so many others throughout Scripture who come into these difficult places, these difficult venues of life, and God, only to find you to be sovereign, to be loving, to be caring. And God, if we can keep our eyes on heaven and know, Lord, that one day this will all pass away, what a joy we can have each and every day. Thank you for the power of Jesus in our lives, and thank you for his glory and his goodness. And Father, thank you that there's nothing that's outside of your power. Lord, we can look to you. We can overcome these pressures. And as we look to you, we seek you, we only grow in you. And we thank you for that growth that you produce. Lord, I pray now that you would bless each one. I pray that they'd be encouraged this week, strengthened. And Father, that we would all have a heavenly perspective. And God, that we would live our lives this week for thy glory, we pray in Jesus' precious name. And everybody said, Amen. Amen.